It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore a new report from the 31-member Governor's Health Equity Council. They published 20 recommendations on how to deal with the conditions that create health disparities. Be part of this conversation, calling with your questions, your comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Michelle Robinson is Director of the Office of Health Equity in the State Department of Health Services. She is Vice Chair of the Governor's Health Equity Council. Michelle, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here with you all, and happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Yes, and Gina Green Harris is here as well, Director of the Center for Community Engagement and Health Partnerships at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, and Chair of this council. Gina, welcome.
Thank you so much. And again, happy Valentine's Day. Good to be here.
Gina, let's start with you. Governor Evers delivers his next state budget address tomorrow. And how do you recommend lawmakers adjust their budget priorities with an eye on health equity for Wisconsinites?
Well, yeah, thank you so much for that call, that question. And, I'll answer it, but want to just really acknowledge the Equity Council and the great work that it did over the last 2 years. And this great report is definitely something that we lift up as we prepare for budget season, recognizing that these recommendations are all really engaged around equity outcomes that we know that if utilized can actually improve, we believe, improve health outcomes as a state. And so, the council really went to great lengths to recognize that these principles in this health equity report would definitely drive us to our principles of respect and dignity and fair shot thriving in the state. And we believe in Wisconsin, we should not leave anyone behind. So as we're thinking of what to lift, again, this is not this report really has what we believe nuggets of information that can bring us closer, because these are the recommendations of our community, of community members from this from this council that really talked with community members about what was prevalent in their respective areas. So I think there's a lot of things that I have to be honest, I can't call one thing out that mm-hmm. I think would really be raised in the budget, but I think all of these recommendations would withstand and it really bring about some health equity points in our state that really would stand with the Wisconsin idea.
And Michelle, you know, I like how your report like poses the question just flat out, what is the state of health equity? And I think it is important that we level set. I mean, can you tell us what health equity is like here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I can. And I will start by just saying, what is health equity? And the council selected a definition that simply means is health equity means that everyone has a fair and just opportunity to be as healthy as possible. And when we think about health equity, we're not just thinking about sort of those things that we can do as individuals, like, oh, do you, you know, work out at least 30 minutes a day? Or, you know, are you eating healthy? Those things are really important. But what we know from decades of research about what actually shapes individuals and populations' health outcomes, we know that that what tends to have a bigger impact on health are these social structural things like access to health, healthy living environments, whether or not you're exposed to community violence or pollution, or whether or not you are able to access education and quality education. All of those things matter. And so when we think about health equity in our state, recently, we had the Population Health Institute released its report card that examined sort of health equity in our state on along the dimensions of race and economics and also education. And we know that our state has both health disparities, but we have an overall population health issue that has been worsened, unfortunately, by the COVID-19 pandemic. And so when you look at health indicators, and there are lots of health indicators, so it's really hard to say specifically, but depending upon what community you're looking at, we know that there are considerable health disparities When we look at things like maternal health outcomes within the Black community, we see cardiovascular outcomes when we're looking at our indigenous communities. We see things like diabetes when we're looking at our Latinx community, or we may also see cancer morbidities when we're looking at our rural communities, right? Mm. And so there are considerable health outcomes. And we also know that looking at a population level at the national level, that despite decades, I mean, we have been able to increase life expectancy over the course of the last century. And for the first time over the last 3 years, we are reporting declines across populations and in our life expectancy as a country. And so this is a pivotal moment, I believe, for us to sort of confront and say, like, what is the future that we want to build for our children, for ourselves? And what are the things that we're willing to do in order to instill and to ensure that we are building a Wisconsinite that is attractive, that can be a pillar, that can be a beacon for what it means to build a state that has smart policy and social structure that really informs, protects, and promotes the health and well-being of its residents.
Gina, what we're hearing out of Governor Evers recently, you know, calling for a $500 million expansion in mental health services, that, you know, Healthy Minds is a focus here. What would that boost mean for addressing inequities in public health?
Yeah, I think that, quite frankly, we all know that, especially when we think about the COVID era that we're coming out of, that mental health is definitely something that we would like to address. And we know that mental health is something that that impacts us across this community, across this state. And it impacts us in the three cores, right? So our economics, our social and physical environment, all of those are impacting our mental health capacity. And so recognizing that, we also know that service delivery models are, there's this great need for more mental health providers. There's this great need for access to better mental health services. And so definitely recognizing that there is a need for more support in that area. However, we also know, again, as we think about this report here, that mental health is encapsulated in good health and overall health stability for all of our Wisconsin constituents. And so I think that as we think about what it would do to really improve, as Michelle has given a great observation of our current health equity situation in the state, we know that when we think about addressing the barriers to mental health access, addressing the barriers to mental health service delivery models within across the context of the state. So for instance, if you're in, you know, rural Wisconsin, your needs are the same, but look differently as to how to access those services. And so what I think about as we're looking to tackle this issue of capacity around mental health, that we have to think about what does it look like across our state, and how will these funds and how will these dollars support us as we continue to move forward. And so I think it would definitely improve some of our service models. It would improve our communities overall, having access and ability to address their mental health needs. And I think that's the other thing that I'm recognizing, obviously, as we're doing our work, is people are now having public conversations, quite frankly, in community about mental health issues and concerns.
Talking about the findings of the Governor's Health Equity Council, Gina Green Harris there, and Michelle Robinson, the council's chair and vice chair. I want to turn to one morsel in this report that stuck out to me and surprised me. And you cite that Wisconsin ranks last in the country in providing preventative dental services to children enrolled in Medicaid. Michelle, what is going on?
Well, you know, I think that's actually a kind of complex question of what's going on. I think some of it is that we don't actually have a ton of Medicaid providers who provide care for dental care for children who are on Medicaid, so that we have a sort of a supply issue on one hand. And then we also have sort of a broader sort of funding and support issue about, like, how are we reimbursing? What is the rate? How can we attract more providers into the network? And in order to ensure that the supply and the demand can be met. But as you also note that, you know, it's important for children to have access to dental care and to get access to dental care as early as possible. We know that access to good oral health has impacts on not only children's self-esteem, but their ability to show up at school, to learn, to focus, to engage. And there has been nationally for decades studies on the challenges of oral health care access for children and how that impacts and shapes their learning and their academic achievement capacity.
And you're seeing children landing in ERs over dental emergencies. I want to turn to you, Gina, in the moments we have left. You recommend in the report to make the work and the purpose of this council permanent and in state law. What effect would that have on Wisconsin?
That's an excellent question. And I think the people have opportunity, you know, when we think about how do we maintain this work. How do we continue to drive this work forward? And what do we need to actually create this structure to help make sure that we are actually living forward with the Wisconsin idea? I think this report has really raised an alert and raised a level of consciousness about what can happen in Wisconsin to actually build health equity from community voice. And that's exactly what this report is. It is community voice. And so we believe that, you know, community voice makes a difference across the state as a collective, right? Oftentimes what we know is that there's sometimes a divisive voice, right? It's dividing the folks. And so this is not in any way, shape, form, or fashion, I think, a political stance.
This is more of a uniting driver here. And we are out of time. Thank you for joining us. Gina Green-Harris, Michelle Robinson there, chair and vice chair of the Governor's Health Equity Council. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.